So there is some news related to the football team. Washington, according to Tom Pelissero at the NFL Network, has signed veteran kicker Matt Gay to a one-year, $4.25 million fully guaranteed contract. According to Pelissero, it is the most fully guaranteed money for a kicker on a one-year deal in NFL history. He can earn up to $5 million with reachable incentives. So what are they getting in Matt Gay? Matt Gay's kicked for 6 years in the NFL, was drafted by Tampa, kicked with the Rams for 3 years in 2020, 2021, and 2022. The last 2 years in Indianapolis. So the last 5 years, the majority of his games have been indoors. He has been very good on PATs after his rookie year. He's missed just four total extra points in five seasons over his career. He's got a big leg. He's connected on 58 yarders twice in his career. By the way, he holds the NFL record for the most 50-plus yard field goals in a game. He kicked four on September 24th, 2023 at home against the Ravens. His 58-yarder as a rookie is the longest field goal by a rookie kicker in NFL history. He also had a run of the most successful field goal attempts by a rookie kicker. He made 27 in a row. That's tied for the best all-time with Martin Gramatica. But again, that was as a rookie. And in recent years in Indianapolis, he has struggled a little bit more on field goal percentage. He had his career, after his rookie season, his career low in 2023 at 80.5%. Now, he was 33 of 41. Five of the eight misses came from 50-plus. And then last year, all six of his missed field goals, he was 83.8%, he was 31 of 37, came from 50-plus. He was 3 for 9 on 50-yard-plus field goals. Inside 50 last year, he was perfect. He was 28 for 28 on kicks inside 40 last year for Indy. The year before on kicks inside 40, he missed two. He was 26 of 28 that year. Matt Gay signed, and by the way, Zane Gonzalez released. If you didn't know, he was re-signed to a very minimal deal to be a part of the roster, you know, the training camp roster. We always thought there was a chance they would be looking for another kicker. They found him. Matt Gay signing a fully guaranteed 4.5 point, or is it 4.25? What did Pelissero say? 4.25 million fully guaranteed means he's going to be the kicker in 2025, unless he absolutely soils himself in preseason training camp or maybe even early in the season. Matt Gay is your new Washington kicker. All right, Cooley joined me on Friday after the draft. Joined me Friday afternoon. I put him to work. He spent some time looking at Josh Connerly Jr., watched a lot of tape. I'm not even sure when I reached him that he even knew the draft had happened. But I said, will you, you know, get on your computer and watch, you know, 30 to 60 minutes of some Josh Connerly and tell us what you think. So that's what he did, and here was his film breakdown of Washington's first-round pick.
I really like Josh Connerly. I think he's big time. I think it's really interesting what they do with him, and I'm sure that they have a plan. Because I understand you take whatever you think is best available, but you don't take a left tackle if you just acquired a left tackle. So I'm assuming he's the right tackle for him.
Right.
But the kid is huge. I mean, he's 6'5", 310. He's unbelievably athletic, and it shows when you watch him on film, but he runs a 5.0 40 pretty much, 34.5-inch vert. That's big vert for an offensive lineman. 34.5?
Yeah.
For a 310-pound man?
Athletic.
That's huge. So he's an athlete, and you would assume somebody that's an athlete like that should be able to flip sides. It really isn't. I just can't. I understand it's a big deal, But as somebody that flips sides every other play, I know I don't quite understand why it's such a big deal. If you're an athlete, go play on the other side. It shouldn't be that tough. So he is. He's an incredible athlete. The first thing that jumps off the page to me with him is his footwork. And when I watch him in the run game, especially when they run at him, like their front side zone towards him, they run that zone play towards him, and he's got to stretch and overtake a defensive end who's wider. He does a really good job with it. He can push out with width, continue to get good inside arm punch, and extend the hole so the back has a cut lane. You're not, when you're doing that as a tackle outside, the back's almost never going to get outside of you. So your job is to stretch the defensive end as wide as possible so there's a cutback inside of that or all the way back. And I think when you watch Connolly, he does a phenomenal job of this. And the biggest start is his feet. He is athletic. He's very quick. He can move incredibly well, but his feet get him going. He doesn't take false steps. He doesn't take missteps. He's technically sound in his footwork. And I was really impressed with that. It's the exact same for him on the backside of run plays when he's got to cut off a defensive tackle inside of him. I think he does an exceptional job going the other way, away from him, which is to his right. So if you're evaluating, can the guy step and move to his right? Yeah. So he could block open zone on the right side, in theory, right? Good footwork to the right, good footwork to the left. Should be able to block on the right side or the left side. Just consider the new backside, the front side. I think he does a really good job on angles with run plays away. He understands the angle of attack where you have to get to a guy. And some guys really struggle with that. You take too sharp of an angle and then you're trying to square up to get in front of somebody and all of a sudden they're across your face and in front of you on the other side. I think he has a good understanding of angles. Probably a stud in geometry, man.
Not my best subject, by the way. I was a good math student. Not geometry wasn't my thing. I bet it was your thing. I bet you were good at geometry.
I don't remember. Like 13, we had geometry.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
All right. What else? Right. He's good with angles.
Game. He likes a quick set, like a jump set, against a lot of speed pass rushers. You envision an offensive lineman in a drop back doing that big kick backward step. That's hilarious if somebody that doesn't know football tries to do in a bar.
Right.
But that big one kick your outside foot back far, slide your inside foot. And we'll get to that, but he likes to get hands on guys quick. And I'm impressed with this quite a bit because he has the ability to then run with speed rushers. So he'll get hands on, and a lot of times when you get hands on like that, they get to the edge a little bit. You've created a short pocket, and if they're able to get around the backside edge, then you're in trouble. But he's able to open up and run with those guys. He has good mirror skills. He can mirror a pass rusher up to 7, 8, 9 yards and create that deeper pocket, giving the quarterback an opportunity to step up in the pocket. That to me, I think that with some of the front side run game stuff and his ability to quick set is pretty awesome. That's a first round guy that can do that stuff. The athleticism to be able to accomplish those things are a third of the tackles in the league, half the tackles at best in the league, can functionally quick set and run with guys and open side stretches zone. He does them both well. When he is in a deep set situation, I think it's really sound. A lot of tackles will deep set and they'll start to kick and they'll open their outside hip up. And you don't want to do that. You want to stay square to the line of scrimmage. He does a good job of keeping his body square to the line of scrimmage until he makes contact. And then he'll open up a little bit. But he's really square and he creates a problem for those rushers. They can't come underneath well. And it's a wide angle for them to get around the corner. So he sets himself up well with that. He has good patience with his hands in pass game. A lot of times offensive linemen want to lean their hands out or reach their hands out for guys, which makes their body lean over, and then they're susceptible to anything a pass rusher wants to do. He has good posture. He waits. He times his punch up well and does a good job with his hand punch. I think he's really effective with that. He sees twists and edges, blitzes really well. And again, going back to the last thing I just said, where he's able to stay square, he's able to keep good vision with things like that. He's not turned, so he can go back the other way. So when you get twist rushers or blitzers off the edge or inside, he's able to pick those things up. So one, good square set. Two, good vision, good understanding of where he's got to go, and ability to get there with speed. All those things are massive positives. I mean, you watch the kid and watch him against Abdul Carter, who went, what, third from Penn State. Yeah. Watch him against Ohio State. And against big-time players, he's a big-time player. He doesn't struggle when he gets to a different level of pass rusher, which makes him a first-round pick. You know, you'd look at a lot of guys and say, hey, they're great when they play Oregon State and good when they play UCLA, which, by the way, the conference thing messes me up anyway.
Yeah, but right. They're in the Big Ten. They were
in
the Big Ten.
He's great against Maryland, and he was a stud against Rutgers.
Right.
He's big-time against Penn State. He was huge against Ohio State, and he's still functionally doing the same thing. He's in no way overwhelmed by talent. I mean, again, that makes him a first-round pick. So the positives are incredibly positive. I think on the upside, on the ceiling side with this kid, his athleticism, his current fundamental basis of where he's at is not a, we really, this guy's good, but we got to teach him a lot. I don't think technically he's pretty sound. Athletically, he's completely there. He's got all the physical skill set. On the negative side, which there's not a ton, man, his block sustain is not phenomenal. He's got a good punch when he gets into guys, but his ability to sustain and keep on blocks is not there yet. And sometimes that's just an attitude deal. Kev, sometimes it's, I'm just going to finish this dude off. He gets the block to where it needs to be, and then he says, okay, I did it. I have no idea what he actually says, but his ability to sustain blocks for an extended period of time is not 100% there. He's got good hands, but once he loses contact, he doesn't always stay with contact. He's got such a big body that it's hard sometimes for them to get around him or get in front of him. This isn't a massive glaring issue. It's a check mark on film, job done. I think some guys just have this nasty streak. Trent Williams would be a good example. It's this nasty streak where the job's done when I finish you on the ground. That's not necessarily our guy here. The only real concern I have is him getting pushed around a little bit. Sometimes he's high, and when a defensive end or D-tackle gets hands inside of him, they can push the pocket, and they can push him back more than you think. And, you know, I thought of it like this. You could think maybe he's weak. He's not a strong enough dude. He didn't do the bench press at the combine. The only reason you don't do that as a lineman is you can't get 20. But I don't know if it's necessarily that. And I'm going to give you my comp to what I feel like this is at times. You ever, you're playing defense in a basketball game, and you got someone squared up, and they start to back you down to the hoop.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're playing good defense, and they turn around and shoot, and all of a sudden you realize the hoop's right there. Like,
yeah.
How did he get, I don't feel like we went 8 feet towards the hoop here.
Like you did to me that one time in your backyard? Yes. Yeah.
It's somewhat like that.
You're trying to hold your ground without fouling? Yeah.
Right. Well, I feel like that's the exact same thing. I don't know if he's really weak. He's massive. But he gets moved backwards more than you'd like. And sometimes this is in the run game as well. He's not overly physical in any way. And he's always got his feet are always moving. And sometimes you just like him to set hard and anchor his back foot and just stop pressure. And so I don't know. He gets on his heels a little bit as his feet start to move. And he's kind of chopping his feet. He doesn't finish fully with his hands. And that is a concern, and that is a weakness that he has in a five-step drop back or a longer developing pass play, that he's getting pushed into the lap of the quarterback. It's something that he will need to work on, is his ability to sustain a direct bull rush in the pass game and keep his chest down in the run game, keep his hat down. So he's moving forward instead of getting pushed backwards into gaps. Last couple things. I think this goes hand in hand with this. I think he could just use his hips better when he punches. A lot of times he's got a little bit of forward lean, like think about his ass kind of bent outwards, and he's punching his hands. Man, if he'd bring his ass and hips forward as he punches, I think he'd be a lot more effective with his punch. I don't love his ability to get up to linebackers and second-level players, and I think this is also something that can be taught and learned, and this is also maybe something that is taught at Oregon. He's always in that weird, like, shuffle step. It's like a duck walk almost. Like, you walk your feet and you chop your feet.
I saw what you did there, the duck walk at Oregon.
Yeah, you kind of just – yeah, that is funny. Yeah, sometimes when you come off a first-level block in double-team situations, you got to go up to backers in the second level. You just open up and run. I mean, it's not a full dead sprint, but you got to open up your stride a little bit and attack that angle. So I said he's really good on angles on the front level, right at the line of scrimmage. I don't think he's phenomenal getting up to backers. Again, this could be the way they're coaching him in the run game. Last thing, at times he'll get confident on his quick sets and he'll overset. It's not his deep sets. It's that quick jump on him. Jump quick, get your hands on him. He has a tendency at times to jump a little bit wider, and in those situations, that's where he gets that up and then under rush, and he can give up some up and under rush and get beat in those situations. So, that again, that's an easily fixable, coachable thing, just the track of where you're jump setting. I think the positives glaringly outweigh any negatives. I think all these negatives are incredibly minimal. You work on whatever it takes to not get pushed back the way he does, and the rest of them are easily teachable things. And to me, he's an outstanding athlete with an unbelievable upside. It's an athletic tackle that they're getting. And, you know, in the Tunsil situation, you think about it, he can move back to left tackle if anything happens with Tunsil. He can move back to left tackle in 2 or 3 years. I think the kid can play everywhere. I don't think he's a guard.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that.
I don't necessarily see him as an interior player. And in part, I think his skill set on the edge is too valuable to end up using him on the inside.
Got it.
Combine that with the fact that he's able to get bold a little bit. I like my inside guys to be a little bit stouter. I think he remains outside. I would expect that he would play right tackle. Who knows? You never know what happens when they get into practice and what need ends up being. But I think the goal would probably be to have him outside.
All right. A couple of quick questions for you, and then I'll let you run. I appreciate this, as you know. So Cliff Kingsbury put a note on Adam Peters' desk, apparently saying, "Oregon tackle, please." Meaning he really wanted Josh Connerly to be the pick. You know, Kingsbury has a lot of quick game, a lot of screens, traditional screens, bubble screens, etc. I'm assuming that Kingsbury really liked Connerly Jr. because of the athleticism and because this guy's going to be phenomenal in space and in their pass game, their line of scrimmage pass game in particular.
Yeah, he can run. He can absolutely run. And I don't see any real concern with – I see a lot of positives in that. But again, he's going to have to open up and run. Screens are a little bit different than second-level blocks, though. You have to run. Yeah, I think he could be big time in the screen game.
All right. One last thing that I want to ask you or just get clarity on. This team struggled to run the football, especially with running backs down the stretch. And I want to find out from you, based on something you said – what you really believe about Connerly Jr. as a run blocker, because you suggested that maybe he's not, you know, super strong, that he, you know, struggles getting to second levels, to double teams. Is that from you sort of a way of saying or implying that you don't think that his strength anyway is as a run blocker?
No, I don't agree with that. Sorry, I'm sorry. I think he's an outstanding run blocker on the first level. And I think in one-on-one situations, he can do a tremendous job in the run game. I actually see him as an incredibly effective run blocker.
Okay.
I think that you could improve by him getting to the second level, but in that aspect, I think some of that's a coachable situation for him. No, I think it's a big time. Dude, I love the pick. I mean, you get Jaden Daniels, and you see exactly what he is through the year. You got to go protect the dude. You got to give him an opportunity to stay safe.
Yeah.
I mean, they went out and did it. And like whatever other need you have, this is the one thing that you have. The quarterback is the one thing that you have to have. And you have to protect, and you have to have continue to play for an extended period of time. Franchise guy has got to be your guy. And as a young player, protect him.
All right, well done. I know you got to run. Much appreciated. That was incredibly helpful and great. I'll talk to you later.
Have a good one, bud.
That was Chris Cooley from the other day breaking down Josh Connerly Jr. I'll try to get him to do Amos and a few of the other guys as well over the next few weeks. Ben Standig will join us at 12. When we come back, Washington's over-under number on wins for 2025 dropped after the draft. I'll tell you what it dropped to when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, the Washington Commanders are releasing Zane Gonzalez and signing kicker Matt Gay from the Indianapolis Colts. Gay will receive $4.25 fully guaranteed on a one-year deal. The 49ers have locked up George Kittle with a four-year $76 million extension that includes $40 million guaranteed. He becomes the highest-paid tight end in the National Football League. Not a fun day to be a Nats fan yesterday as they got smoked by the New York Mets 19-5. Brandon Nimmo with four of six with two home runs, including a grand slam, nine total RBIs. Trevor Williams pitched 5.1 innings, earning 5 Ks and giving up 5 earned runs. The Nats will take on the Phillies at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. The Caps look to close out their series versus Montreal tomorrow from Capital One Arena. Alex Ovechkin was not on the ice at practice this morning. No worries there. The team has called it a maintenance day. Alexi Protas, though, looks to be a full go at practice this morning. He will likely join the lineup tomorrow. Spencer Carberry declined to give any specifics. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1, and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.